Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. So if you wonder why it's put in that way, it's because this whole process has been in terms of who doing it. Who is the one being engaged in this process? The husband or the wife? The wife. So far this whole description of devotional service was given for the wife. So here it's saying either one can do it, and if the wife is unable, her husband can do. Purport. The relationship between husband and wife is firmly established when the wife is faithful and the husband sincere. Then even if the wife, being weaker, is unable to execute devotional service with her husband, if she is chaste and sincere, she shares half of her husband's activities. Kritam eka taranapi dampatyor ubayor api patnyam kuryad anarhayam patir etat samahitah. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. So either way. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. So here we see one of several instances where devotional service can be shared or given to someone else, even who's not doing it. We have other examples in the Shastra of people who perform, say, Ekadasi vows and then offer the result to some family member. Right? That's definitely done. Or in the Shraddha ceremony also, you make offerings and then you offer the result to your departed ancestors. So there's some provision for that, that you can do something on behalf of somebody else. And of course, generally, in the Vedic sacrifices, the person who wanted to perform the sacrifices would engage a priest to do the actual sacrifice. Because often the person who wanted to do the sacrifice didn't know all of the rituals. And then the person doing the sacrifice, although they're the one actually doing it, they're doing it on behalf of somebody else. And here we see a general principle of association, how one can share in the results. Here it's talking about the good results, the spiritual results of association. And certainly that is done, Prabhupada's talking about, if there's faithfulness and sincerity within the couple. In other words, if there's some actual attachment, not necessarily just an official relationship. This is also explained in the story of Prahlad Maharaj, when he asked Nisingadev, he asked the Lord, as Nisingadev, please liberate my father. And Nisingadev says, so many generations have already been liberated. And Prabhupada explains, I'm not sure if it's exactly in that place, that this doesn't mean just in this life. He says, because in this life, we know our parents, our grandparents, maybe our great-grandparents. Most of us don't really know our great-great-grandparents, isn't it? Maybe we've heard of them. In fact, I often ask people, how many of you know the names of your great-great-grandparents? And maybe I get one person out of, 100 who knows the name of one great-great-grandparent. And Prabhupada says, because there's no attachment, that it only goes up to the level of attachment. So when we talk about 21 generations become liberated, Prabhupada says, this means other lifetimes, not all in the same lifetime, because the principle is that of attachment. If you become attached to somebody who's engaged in devotional service, you also get some of the result. And this, of course, Prabhupada explained this to my father in 1974, where my father said, is it all right if I come to the temple just to see my daughter and son-in-law? I'm not really interested in Krishna consciousness. Of course, he became interested in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, they are loving Krishna. Chanting and dancing are symptoms of loving Krishna. So they are loving Krishna and you are loving them. So two things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. So when you become attached with affection, with attachment to some devotee, then you also get some benefit from their activities. Or you can also deliberately give somebody the benefit of your activities. You can do some even pious activities and offer that to another person. Of course, the same works with materialism. If you're attached to someone who's a materialist, you may become infected with their activities. You may become infected with their consciousness. I was just hearing Srila Prabhupada talk about Narada Muni, who became attached to the Bhaktivedantas. And just by eating a little bit of the leftovers of their food, he also started to develop transcendental qualities. And this was also something that Prabhupada told my father at the same time, when my father said, "Why are you so anxious to give everyone your food?" And Prabhupada said, "Do you believe in infection?" My father said, "Yes." He said, "Just like if you eat the food of a sick man, you'll get that disease." I remember many, many years ago, I don't remember the name of the movie, but it was some movie about, it was black and white, that's how old the movie was. It was about doctors and nurses working in some area where there was an epidemic. It was a fictional movie. But anyway, they're working in some area where there's an epidemic, and they're so careful, you know, to have all the masks and the gloves. And at one point, one of the nurses is just so tired. She's been working for 48 hours straight, you know, and she's practically falling asleep on her feet trying to save all these people. And without thinking, she reaches over and takes a cup of water that was next to the bed of one of these highly infectious people and drinks it. That was like the major crisis of the whole movie, you know. And she drank this water, and now she was going to come down with the disease. So when people are, Prabhupada was explaining, when someone has, say, tuberculosis or typhoid, you know, they're strictly quarantined. So one can get some infection from someone just by being near them. Prabhupada said, in the same way, if you eat the food Krishna's eaten, you'll become infected with Krishna's disease. Of course, Krishna's disease is very nice. Krishna's disease means the destruction of all envy. Normally, diseases, they destroy your immune system, or they destroy your digestion, or they destroy your thinking power, or something like that. But this disease destroys your envy, which is the root of all other diseases. You could say this body and all of our actions in this life, all of our reactions, they're all symptoms of this disease of envy. So this is true not only for God himself, but is also true for the devotees of the Lord. If you eat the food, the three most powerful substances all have to do with the devotees. The water that's bathed the feet of the devotees, the dust that's touched the feet of the devotees, the food that's been eaten by the devotees. And we have that, what was his name? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, who was eating the mango pits and skins. Can't remember his name. Starts with a J, I think. But he would give mangoes to all the devotees. Didn't matter so-called big devotees or so-called little devotees or devotees from priestly families or devotees from worker families. And he would give them mangoes, and then he would hide outside and he would take the pits and the skins. What was his name? Ramdas? Is that his name? And he would take the pits and the skins and he would suck on them. Right? Because in a simple society, people don't throw things in a plastic bag in the rubbish bin. They just throw things. They have all organic waste. And they just throw it out on the ground. So he would just take this off the ground and suck them. And because of that, he got to drink the foot bathing water of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu four times. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not allow anyone to have this privilege. So this principle of association and attachment is so important. And it means that we should both try to be good association. I mean, Prabhupada was saying my father would make advancement by association with me, but that means I have to also be connected, right? You have Prabhupada talks about the useless wire, but when you plug it into the socket, then it's transmitting electricity. So one has to also be connected. Prabhupada wrote that letter to Andrea Temple before she was even initiated. He said to her, anyone you tell this mantra to, because it's coming from the disciplic succession, it's potent. He said, you have heard it from my disciples. They have heard it from me. So anyone that you speak it to. And we can think of how kind Krishna is. Because I think most of us, at least, if we examine ourselves, we can say that on our own, we're not really very saintly. We're trying to be saintly. We're hankering to be saintly. We're working on purification, but we see we have so many bad qualities, at least I see in myself, every day, generally many, many, many times a day. Krishna is showing me how I have so many bad qualities. I'm the furthest thing from a saint. And still, if we are connected, Krishna allows anyone who connects with us to be purified. That's how non-envious he is. I was talking to one devotee who's planning a wedding here at the manor. And she was saying, well, you know, we don't have much money, and it's going to be 8 pounds a plate, and there's at least 1,000 people we want to invite, but how are we going to spend 8,000 pounds on just the prasadam alone, right? We're going to have to limit our guest list. And generally, we feel like that. You know, I don't want to give to too many people. In fundraising, they call this donor fatigue, where, you know, I gave to this and I gave to that and I gave, you know, I already gave to the puja and the goshal and the school and the, I can't give anymore. I'm tired. But Krishna is so much giving that he's even giving to people who unknowingly, just by association, have something to do with one of his devotees. And not only even have something to do with one of his devotees, who have something to do with somebody, who has something to do with somebody, who has something to do with somebody, who has something to do with one of his devotees. Okay? And Prabhupada's telling this Andrea Temple, you tell somebody it will be potent. You've heard from my disciples who've heard from me. That will be potent. Someone who has somebody to something, something, something. And therefore we find that even when we go out, we give people prasad and we give people books, Prabhupada said, just touching the book. That's how kind Krishna is. You know, ultimately one has to become free. Ichadvesha, this hankering and lamenting, attachment and aversion. One has to have a purified heart. Ridyantasta abhadrani. All the nasty things that are in the heart. So that generally takes some deliberate desire and effort on the part of a person. One has to want to become free of envy. One has to want to again become spiritually pure and joyful. You might say everybody wants to be joyful, but most people don't want to pay the price for pure joyfulness. But still, Krishna is willing to give credit and purification to people, even we call this agyata sukriti, even without knowing. Even without knowing, they do something for somebody who's doing something for somebody who's doing something for somebody who's a devotee. How kind he is. That Krishna's wanting the living entity to come back to him. Sometimes we feel that it's that Krishna consciousness is a big struggle. Because Prabhupada says, until the stage of nishtha, it's a hard struggle with determination. And sometimes devotees think, you know, why isn't Krishna just giving me Krishna consciousness? But Krishna so much wants to give us Krishna consciousness that he's willing to give some, even to someone who has no real intention like that. They're just thinking, oh, here's somebody asking for money on the street and it's Krishna's time and I'll just give them something to get rid of them. You know, okay, what's this book? I'll take the book. They're not thinking, which is why we can't go up to people. I mean, I'm sure we've all tried this, but usually it's not very effective. You just can't go up to people and say, here, take this book, and you'll be free of all your material attachments. It's even hard to say that to committed devotees. Right? If you go, even people who've been in the movement 10, 15, 20 years, and you say, what about praying to Krishna to please get rid of all my material attachments? They go, I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. You know, so what to speak of going up to somebody on the street? This is how you can become free of all your material attachments. How you can have selfless love for God without any consideration for yourself. That whether he embraces you or tramples you, you'll still love him. Take this book and learn how to do that. You know, how many people would buy a book? Probably, you know, one out of a million. We have to say something else. This will allow you to live happily in the world. Well, these things are also true. But we have to present it in another way. So even my point is, even people who aren't actively, openly wanting to attain Krishna, they're not even wanting to attain Krishna as one of the pious persons. They may not even be actively looking for God. And still, they get some start. They get some credit. Krishna says, aha, now this person is connected. They get some benefit. Ravindra Sri Prabhu talks about how when he first started chanting Hare Krishna, he didn't even know what he was chanting. But he noticed that his desire for material things started going away. I mean, here it says, with attention, samahitaha. But it's explained, even if the holy name is chanted neglectfully. That's explained with the story of Puchana. That even if the holy name is chanted neglectfully, all the bad elements go away. And Krishna is he's so non-envious. He wants to open the door to everyone as far as possible. He's trying to make it as easy as possible. The struggle is coming from our not wanting to surrender. It's not coming from his side. He's just opening it up, opening it up. Oh, you're the grandfather of a devotee? Okay, fine. We'll take away your karmic reactions, give you all chance for devotional service. No problem. You know, we'll put you in our account. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that even the dog of the devotee, even the servant in the house of a devotee, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law, Amogha, criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too much. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I was eating a lot. And Sarvabhauma said, yes, but it was his mood. Oh, look how much you're eating. And they cursed Amogha to die, although he was their son-in-law. They said, you know, let our daughter become a widow. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can't let your son-in-law die. This would be such a disturbance for you. And he went and he said, Amogha, get this envy out of your heart. And he told Sarvabhauma, he said, I can't let one of your relatives come into difficulty. He said, even your servants are dear to me. Anybody who has any connection with you is dear to me. That's the Lord's mood. So what a kind and merciful Lord. Some people portray God. I mean, he's also like that. He can also be angry. Like in the Singhadev, he was pretty angry. So he can also be angry. But when God's angry, he's kind to the people upon whom he's angry. His anger is also a manifestation of love. It's the anger of a parent towards, you know, the child who's going to cut their finger off with a knife. It's that kind of anger. Hey, put that down! Did I tell you how I one time felt that way with one of my sons who almost drowned? Did I tell you that? So my youngest son, now he knows how to swim. But anyway, he didn't know how to swim. And he had a friend over. And all of a sudden we didn't know where they were anymore. They were just gone. And one of the other kids, we had a bunch of kids at the house that day. One of the other kids said, oh, they took the inflatable boat across the street and went in the river. And it wasn't just a river. It was a river that led to a waterfall. And he didn't know how to swim. So, you know, I run across the street and there's my kid in this rubber boat just a few yards from going over a waterfall. So I was very angry. What are you doing? Get out of that boat! You crazy fellow! Right? Oh, why? Because I love him. So even when Krishna is angry, it's not the anger of envy or hatred. And in fact, he gives liberation to those that he kills. He benefits those that he punishes. And even his ordinary punishment, as the wives of the Kaliya serpent says, even his ordinary punishment is actually a benediction. Prabhupada says in the purport to 15:15 in the Bhagavad Gita, God is all good, he's all merciful, so kind, extending his mercy just as someone who has any touch. So what we can learn from this is we should be fit conduits. We should be helping Krishna in this, spreading his kindness to as many living entities as possible. That means that we should be connected, not just officially, but actually. Like it says here, the reason that one of the spouses gets the result from the other is the other has to do it with attention, not just ritualistically. It doesn't say here, you know, if the husband just does ritualistically. Okay, what's the mantra? Okay, I did that ritual. You know, with attention, with care, with love. Now, then the others get the result. So we should be doing our duty with care. And Prabhupada told my father he'd get a result of being attached to me if I love Krishna. He didn't say, oh, if your daughter just does the rituals externally. So we should become real devotees. And then anyone that we contact will also become benefited. And we should also be careful who we are contacting. That's the other side. One is we should see what kind of association we are. Am I bringing people up? Am I bringing people down? When people are around me, do they think of Krishna or do they think just of trying to enjoy this material world? You know, if people drink from my cup, are they going to get ecstasy or typhoid? You know, what am I infected with? And then with whom do I associate and how do I associate? Whose water am I drinking? Now, who am I hearing from? Whose qualities am I imbibing? To whom do I have attachment? All of us have attachment. What kind of people are filling my thoughts? Now, everybody wants to be filled with thoughts of some great personality, which is why in the modern newspapers, radio, television, internet, they're always talking about some big personality. I try to look at the headlines in the news periodically, and there's always something about some athlete or some movie star or some politician, right? And people become very absorbed in hearing about these people. But generally speaking, unfortunately, in the modern age, generally speaking, these so-called great persons turns out to be debauchees and criminals and not to have very high character. How many companies, they like to use some famous person to advertise their product, right? So they'll put their pictures everywhere and have their name associated with their product, and they pay them often a lot of money to endorse the product. But what often happens is at a certain point they have to take all the ads down. Because then all of a sudden you find out, oh, the person has had affairs or they've committed some crime or they're a drug addict, and all of a sudden they don't want that person associated with their product anymore. So people are so attached to hearing. That's natural. So who are we hearing about? Who is absorbing our mind? Who is absorbing our thoughts? And what kind of mentality is absorbing our thoughts? I mean, sometimes even in the Hare Krishna movement, I mean, we have, just speaking just the other day to somebody who was like this, his thoughts were absorbed in the members of the Hare Krishna movement who had done wrong things. That was his total absorption. Oh, this person had a leadership position in ISKCON and they did this bad thing. And this person had a leadership and they did this. And this is the bad thing they did. And that's the bad thing they did. And this is the other bad thing they did. And that's the other bad thing. And that was their full absorption. And my service to Krishna is to just, you know, give an expose of all the terrible things that people have done. So what kind of absorption is that? I mean, obviously there has to be justice and there has to be, we should make sure that people who are representing the movement are truly representing the movement. But to be fully absorbed in that, then what is one's consciousness? You know, one may be externally in the Hare Krishna movement, but how much benefit is one getting if one's simply filled with hatefulness and anger towards people who may appear to be saintly and who are not really so? Then with whom are you really associating? And I was noticing that people who are like that, even if they're going through the motions of Krishna consciousness, they tend to be just very angry and envious. I remember seeing one person like this in Vrindavan a few years ago. One friend had asked me to pick up something from him, some CD or something. So I went to where he had his shop, and it was in a dark room that was all full of mold and mildew. It was like you could hardly breathe in the room. And he was just going on and on. Oh, this person's done this, this person's done this, this person's done this. And then after going on for a while, he said, you know, everybody used to talk about bliss, but where's the bliss? I don't see any bliss anymore. And I said, maybe you should get out of your room. I know there's a lot of people here who are filled with bliss. So we should be very careful. With whom am I associating? What qualities am I taking up? What benefit am I getting from others? It's such a simple thing. And we see it even operating materially. A person is associating with criminals, they become a criminal. And then when they change their association, they become reformed. So, really nice benediction here in the Bhagavatam. that if the husband does, the wife gets benefit. The wife does, the husband gets benefit. And that Krishna is wanting as many people as possible to get as much benefit as possible. He's not trying to make it an elite club. Now, Calvin said that, what was it, 144,000 people are saved, and that's it. That's the elect. And it's predetermined, you know, whoever's saved, they're saved, whoever's not saved, they're not saved, and that's it. 144,000, pretty small. And they don't believe in reincarnation, so they're thinking that everyone who's born is a different person. So there's a lot of people, if only. And God's, you know, it's really... He wants as many people as possible to go to eternal hell. So it's exactly the opposite. Krishna and Krishna's devotees, they want as many people as possible to become free from envy. They want as many people as possible to join in the eternal pastimes. And so much so that any connection at all with spiritual life will benefit somebody. So I know everybody's anxious to get out. So I can end now if there's questions, comments.